We're going to talk about NoTech. We're going to do the demo first, and here's how it's going to work, at least in theory.
I'm going to talk in a general way about comparisons and what to look for in the three note takers. And then I've asked people who have them and could bring them in. So we're going to have a kind of an overview. I'm going to talk a bit about considerations in purchasing a note taker. And then we'll talk briefly about the three note takers we're going to be showing this afternoon. We will have a couple of Braille Senses from GW Micro, PackMate, and BrailleNote Empower. The note-taker market is exploding. I don't know what happened in the past couple of years, but everybody has decided to make a note-taker for blind people. And I think there are pluses and minuses to that. We've already seen in a couple of years ago, some people may have been here when the MPO showed up, you know, that note-taker with the cell phone and all that. And that showed up from Alva, and then they went under within a year. Optilec has produced something called MyLink with a 12 Braille cells that links to a mainstream PDA. There are all sorts of new note takers that use mobile speak or other screen reading software to hook into mainstream PDAs like a Dell Axiom, for example. And hopefully we'll be able to bring some of those here to demonstrate at some point. What I think is good about this is that people have a lot of choices, particularly people who don't want Braille. I think the only note takers that really offer true Braille support are the three we're going to talk about today. But if you don't want or need Braille support or you can't afford it, there are some new things coming down the pike. I think that that's the good news, that there's more competition, and perhaps that might bring prices down a bit. The bad news, though, is that I think that not all of these products are going to survive, given the small nature of the blindness market. So I'm going to be waiting with interest kind of to see what happens. The current versions of the note takers, one is the PackMate from Freedom Scientific. They have just produced version 4.0 of that product. The BrailleSense, it's made by HIMSS, but it's now supported and sold through and now modified by GW Micro. And I don't know what version the BrailleSense is. Judy Cannon, who should be here, perhaps can tell us that. And the BrailleNote Empower, which is the latest generation of note takers from HumanWare, formerly Pulse Data, HumanWare, is now just HumanWare. And that's version 7.0. When you look at these note takers, there are certain main things you want to look at before you make a purchase. One, of course, is price. They vary. I think the BrailleSense is $4,900. BrailleSense has a 32-cell display, and that's $4,900. The BrailleNote Empower is about $6,100, I believe. And the PackMate BX or QX 40, which is a 40 Braille display, the other two note takers have 32 cell displays, is, I believe, $5,500. Price is one consideration. But there are a lot more important considerations as well. It really depends upon how you want to interact with your PC, what tasks you want to accomplish, and what is important to you. I think that the BrailleNote Empower and the BrailleNote traditionally has a very easy-to-learn help system. The PackMate has certainly improved its help system, and I'm not as familiar with the BrailleSense, so we'll wait on that. But I think that the BrailleNote has a very easy-to-use help system. It also has commands that across the board are fairly standard and easy to use. And it has a proprietary interface which is designed for blind users. Now that's good or bad, depending upon your point of view. And it depends upon what you want to do. For beginning, I'm often asked, because I work in education for a Braille literacy initiative, I often am asked what's the easiest one to learn for a child, and I'm going to have to look at the other note takers more closely to see whether their help systems have improved. But for my money, particularly for a beginner, I think a BrailleNote is probably the easier product to learn. And they do a lot of things to make it easy. For example, the BrailleNote and the BrailleSense tell you exactly which cards to produce if you want to connect to the internet or to do email. And they provide the drivers so that if you take a card and a flash card to provide you with wireless connectivity, for example, and you put it into the slot in the BrailleNote Empower or the BrailleSense, it's going to recognize that card right away, and you'll be able to connect fairly quickly. The PackMate, on the other hand, doesn't do that. The PackMate, you have to install drivers for cards that you want to use. They are not as picky about what card you use. As a matter of fact, they will tell you to try different cards. They have certain ones that they recommend. But you do have to install drivers, and you do have to know which drivers to install. Another thing, particularly if you're purchasing a Braille display model, another difference is that the Braille Note and the Braille Sense allow you to connect to and use your Braille display for the PC, but the PackMate allows you to literally take, it's a detachable Braille display, so it can be disconnected and you can use it without the PackMate with a USB connection on your PC. So you've got a Braille display that can do double duty. I think it depends upon your comfort level with or interest in learning Windows. The PackMate is much more of a Windows feel system. You know, you'll hear a start menu. You'll arrow to programs. And I think it just has a, if you're a JAWS user, a lot of the keystrokes are similar for JAWS. And as a matter of fact, of course, the PackMate actually uses what they call pocket JAWS. Another important issue is, what do you want to do? What's important to you? The Braille Sense has stereo speakers. The other note takers do not. They all have a Bookshare Unpack utility, but they interact differently. There is a Daisy player that's built into the Braille Sense at no charge. If you want a Daisy player for PackMate, you have to purchase it. The recording is different. The Braille Note Empower has a record button with pretty, I think, not very good quality recording, although you can improve it by putting it in an external microphone instead of using their built-in mic. But it has a one-touch recording button. You can hit the button and you can record something immediately. I don't know so much about the Braille Sense. We'll hear about that perhaps in a minute. But the PackMate uses Risco Audio Recorder, which is a program that you can buy that they've made accessible. It costs $15. But again, it's an add-on. The PackMate offers support for Audible.com. The Braille Note Empower does not, and at last inquiry to Jonathan Mosen, has no immediate plans to do so. And the Braille Sense, I hear that support is coming.
Yeah, they're working on it.
They're working on it. It's not here yet. It also depends upon what tasks you want to perform. You can transfer files from any of these note takers to and from your PC. That's accomplished very easily. You can send files to embossers or printers with all of them. All of them allow you to browse the internet and connect to your email. One difference, though, is that, for example, one thing that attracts me to the PackMate is that the PackMate is the only one which allows you to sync your inbox. What that means is that if I leave work on Thursday and I put all of my inbox messages on the PackMate, and then I go away and I go to Pittsburgh for a week, and I check my email while I'm in Pittsburgh, and I go through my messages while I'm on the plane, you know, and I delete things and I get new ones in and I reply and so forth. When I return to work, I can then do what they call an active sync connection, sync up my inbox with my work inbox, and they will both look the same, so that any messages I've deleted will be deleted in all places. Any messages that have come in new will then appear in all places. That's something that no other note taker is able to do.
Amy, can you speak for a minute about the Smalltalk Ultra from GW Micro, which is basically a full-blown computer for the same price that we pay for a voice-only note taker?
Yeah, that, I have not seen that computer yet. It's really a small computer with a very tiny keyboard. If you think about the keyboards that came with the older series Nokia 9290 phones, I think it's similar to that. It is a voice-only package. It has window eyes on it, and you basically use it as if you were using a laptop, but it's a much smaller unit that doesn't have Braille support. So, but it is smaller. The keyboard, though, if you're really going to use it, I think that keyboard is difficult to use on a long-term basis. And so they do offer you the option of using a Bluetooth keyboard or a USB keyboard to make it, you know, easier to use. That's the whole new generation of stuff that's coming out. But it costs, I think, $2,700. But that's yet a different option, particularly for people who aren't
using Braille.
Batteries are quite different in all three of these units. The batteries on the Braille Sense are user replaceable.
Which is a wonderful thing in my view. If you're, you know, using, you're away from any kind of charger or electricity, you can just slap another battery in and you're good to go. The battery in the Braille Note M-Power and the battery in the PacMate, neither of them are user replaceable. For a while, PacMates were being sold with user replaceable batteries and they abandoned that effort. The other main difference, a couple of differences you need to know, one is I'm not going to be so kind at the moment to the Braille Note M-Power because I'm having tremendous difficulties with the battery, and this is supposed to be a brand new unit. All of them, I don't know about the Braille Sense, but the Braille Note and the PacMate will die if you don't use it, if you never turn it on. Yeah. And by the way, it's worse if you have flashcards or other storage devices in it, so take those out because those really do drain the battery. The M-Power will die, and I found that sometimes, even with calibrating that battery gauge and resetting it, sometimes it doesn't show very consistently reliable results as to what percentage of battery you have. The PacMate is another wrinkle. The PacMate, if you haven't used it for a couple of days, it goes flat. And when it goes flat, you lose everything. Now, what they do offer, and I have used it and it does work, is a program called Sprite Backup, which allows you to do very easy backups of your programs and your settings and so forth. But for anybody who, you know, uses a note taker on a more irregular basis, to me that's a major drawback for the PacMate.
Both the PacMate and the Braille Note have to be sent back.
Have to be sent in. The only note taker that allows you to replace the battery yourself is the Braille Sense.
Okay, I didn't know if you might be able to take a PacMate or one of these to one of these battery places that could.
I think you'd void your warranty if you did so.
Okay.
Tim.
Yeah. Okay. That's
an important thing to know.
Yep. Amy, that topic came up at a convention at the ACB convention last summer, and a lot of people were clamoring for the M-Power to have a user replaceable battery. And Jonathan Mosen said that under no circumstances ever would they do that. They just absolutely are adamant about it, and I think their feeling is that it's a safety issue, and I'm not quite sure why, but that's what they said.
You mean because they're afraid people will damage their units?
I think that's what they said, but to me, that's, I don't know.
What are people getting out of batteries? I mean, I don't mean in terms of hours so much. I'm interested in that, too. But what are, do people find they have to send them back once a year, once every 2 years?
I think, you know, it depends upon the, I haven't had my PacMate long enough to know. I never had to send my classic Braille Note back. I've got a new M-Power, and I've had nothing but trouble with my battery ever since I got it.
I have the Voice Note by way of comparison, and they say in their literature 18 months.
Right. Another consideration, I think, is what kind of user you are. And I think one of the things that I think differentiates the PacMate from the other two note takers is that the PacMate, there are, and again, there are positives and negatives to this. You have to do a lot more program installation. You no guarantee, and a lot of times not all features of the program will work. There are a lot of programs that work on the PacMate, or that you can get to work on the PacMate, that don't work with the other note takers. For example, we have the limitations of Pocket Excel, certainly, but the PacMate is the only note taker that I can use and view an Excel file. The other two note takers don't do that. So if you're using an Excel use, that's important. That may be important. There are other things like, for example, my son uses AOL Instant Messenger at college. PacMate is the only note taker that I can use to communicate using AOL and Instant Messenger. They have a program called FS Commander, which they've written, which allows me to program in remotes like my TV remote and control that from the PacMate. They have something called Remote Desktop, which allows you to, I can sit in one room, leave my computer in the other, and control my computer with my PacMate if I want to.
How does it communicate when you're sitting in the other room using your PacMate to control your computer?
It's a wireless connection. And you have to be within, you have to have the remote fairly close to the PacMate, but it does allow you to, you know, I've only configured my TV remote, but it allows me to then use the PacMate to manage it. The good thing about that is it does give you a lot of flexibility. The bad thing about it is, or not the bad thing, but I think it's much more of a challenge to use and to set up. Again, as I said, you have to load the drivers for your wireless card, and you have to load specific drivers. So it depends upon what kinds of things you want to do. The other thing we have to look at here is tech support. I can tell you that I don't know how they do so much with the BrailleSense, but I suspect it's probably the same as with their other products. GW Micro gives excellent tech support. If you call their number, yes, you pay for the call, but you get a person on the other end. And you don't have to wait a long time, and they do answer your questions very quickly. I think the support from HumanWare and Freedom Scientific for these products is about the same as it is for any of their other products. And that can be variable. Another thing to think about is local support. If all of your friends have one kind of note taker, and particularly if you're new, it might be good to consider at least purchasing kind of note taker just because it's easier to get help. In terms of mailing lists and web resources, for the BrailleNote, the HumanWare has a list that they run for their users. Freedom Scientific does not maintain any mailing list for any of their products, and that's also true for the PacMate. There is a great site called PacMateGear.com, which is run by users. It unfortunately is getting to be a very high traffic list as well, although off-topic posts are not quite as well tolerated as they are on the BrailleNote list. And GW Micro, do they have a BrailleSense list?
They don't specifically. There is one out there, and I can't tell you who runs it.
Another thing is weight and size, and I would say the PacMate is the heaviest of the three machines. It's about 4 pounds. I think the BrailleSense is about 2.7, and the BrailleNote Empower about 2.9. So that may or may not be important to you. A couple of other little things. The BrailleNote Empower, I will tell you, has a radio. I will not tell you it's a good radio.
No,
it's not. I think it's a piece of fluff that they probably could have eliminated and put to better use.
Yeah. You need to have the headphones plugged in or some cable going to an external speaker, because that's what the antenna is, and that's why it doesn't work well.
We talked earlier about the advantages for kids learning a device. Mm-hmm. The BrailleSense has one that no other device has, and that is that it has a
visual display
that you can turn on and off. There's also a port on the back that you can hook it up to a larger monitor.
Yeah. Actually, hook it up to a regular computer monitor from what they say.
Yes, you can.
But this one has its own display directly on the device as well.
That's a pretty unique thing, exactly. I think the PacMate, definitely you can hook up to a monitor as well.
Actually, all of them you can hook up.
Hooking up to the monitor is the difference. It's that built-in little display that you can run on the fly.
It does have a built-in Ethernet port. And the other one is, and I don't know how many programs or things you guys can have open on your other devices, but we can do 7.
And I don't know how many the PacMate can do. I think I've done about
72 is too many for me.
I have never run into a situation where I ran too many.
No, me either.
Right.
Yeah, I think the BrailleNote Empower is probably the most limited of the three in that regard.
And actually, that's all you get open anyway.
You
really can't.
Well, you can go from one to the other, though, very easily.
Yeah, with the PacMate, you alt-tab over it, like you would a Windows platform situation.
Right.
Okay, that brings up a question that would be a good time to ask, and that is, how long does each unit take to, from when you turn it on to when you can start writing, take a note or do something?
Well, depends on where you leave it.
Yes, it depends on what kind of file you've opened, or...
If you leave it in an empty file, it's almost instantaneous for all of them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I don't think there's any appreciable difference.
Yeah. There's no boot up time as you would expect with a computer. Okay.
But if you leave them in an open file, then it's going to take a couple of minutes. A few seconds.
Well, if the file's not open, it takes.
Yeah.
Depending on the size of the file, mm-hmm. it depends on how long it takes to load.
There's a Daisy book reader built into the BrailleSense. Freedom Scientific, you have to buy it, and the BrailleNote does not have it. I don't think.
Can you compare it to the Braille Light or the Braille Speak as far as running it? Is it the same thing like using the cord keys?
All of them depending upon the unit you get, there are QWERTY units which have a typewriter keyboard. Mm-hmm. And those would not, this would not, this comment would not apply to those. But there are corded commands used in all three products. There are, I note, a lot of similarities between, or at least some similarities between Braille and Speak and the PacMate, and there are some between the Braille and Speak and the Braille Note.
The old days, cording meant with the space bar.
Yeah, now
we have three other, you know, two or three other keys you can
yes.
cord with as well.
Yeah.
A left
wow.
shift cord, a right shift cord. Et cetera, et cetera.
The way to distinguish a PacMate machine is that a BX is a Braille keyboard and a QX is a QWERTY keyboard. And on a PacMate BX, for example, to get to the applications key, you use an F2 cord with the space bar. But yes, it's a lot of cording commands.
Braille Sense does, I can find everything in a menu by hitting the menu key.
Mm-hmm.
Will the other units do that?
Braille Note will.
Braille Note, yeah, you can go into a menu
you can
and space
single
through.
Single two-stroke and find yourself in a list of applications,
yeah.
uh-huh, that kind
okay.
of thing.
Uh-huh.
The difference, though, I think, is that the Braille Sense, you turn it on and you're in the menu. But I think it's much more so than the other two units are.
I think in some ways probably the because the Braille Sense does have kind of a main screen.
Like Windows.
This feels a little more like Windows. The Braille Note is the least Windows-like. The PacMate is the most Windows-like, and the Braille Sense is kind of in the middle of that. I will say for the PacMate, one of the things is, and I did this morning just because I literally just installed 4.0, and one of the things, and I think this is probably true, it's sort of a curse and a blessing from Freedom Scientific, is that, you know, they offer all sorts of help. And they offer all sorts of cording commands to do every obscure thing you've ever want to think about. To try to take in all that information can be daunting. And they've modified their help system, and there's all sorts of different kinds of help now. But it's going to take me a while, I think, to master that help system.
The difference, I think, is that with the Braille Note, you will get a menu of things that you get lists, which you go to by pressing the space bar. You don't have things like an alt tab. If you want to switch, you have a task switching menu and you have different keys for getting to different tasks, but you don't have the concept of the alt tab, for instance, like you do in Windows.
One of the other things I think is important to mention, and this has to do with Microsoft Word, which is probably the program other than email and Internet Explorer and Excel that I use the most. And one thing that really distinguishes, I think, the PacMate and the Braille Sense from the Braille Note, even its latest generation, is that in the Braille Note, the only Word files you can use are Word 2000 and below. You cannot use Word XP or Word 2003 files in a Braille Note, which basically means I cannot use it for editing because most of the files I receive are Windows Word XP or Word 2003 files. And that's a major issue. I know that HumanWare is trying to address it because they're asking people to send them files, but that is a major issue. If you're a heavy Microsoft Word user, as I am, that's a major consideration.
Will it work with rich text format files?
All of them will work with rich text format. One difference is the Braille Note, and I believe the Braille Sense, if you are writing an email message and you're writing it in grade 2, it will automatically translate it and send it to the recipient so that they can read it with it, no matter what kind of system they're reading it on. In the PacMate, however, you do have to convert it or write it in computer Braille or convert it before you send it, or they will get Braille gibberish.
The Braille Note, though, I've noticed that's a little bit quirky. Sometimes mm-hmm. it works better than others, mm-hmm. and there have been times when I've seen messages from people that were written in probably what was fairly good grade 2 Braille, but it's a little strange. So it doesn't always work, and you've got to be really careful that you have all the right options turned on to make it happen.
And very much be sure that you're writing real grade 2 Braille, not personal grade 2 Braille.
Yeah.
Anybody that ever had a Braille and Speak knows that a subject near and dear to your heart is backing the thing up, because it's not if it will crash, it's when.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if we could talk about the... Is it easy to back up these three devices, at least to one of their built-in, you know, compact flash cards or whatever they use for that?
I never used to put a lot of things on the device itself until I got the PacMate. So I would tend to put things on flash cards, you know, and use it that way. I tended not to put a lot of documents and important files on the flash disk itself in the Braille Note. So I can't embarrass other people can speak to backing up a Braille Note. I will say with the PacMate, you have to use, they recommend and they actually supply on CD, a program called Sprite Backup, which is a great utility, which I love.
it's very simple.
It's very simple to use.
Three keystrokes and, yep. And you're backing it up. And
yep.
For a fully loaded system, yep. Backup is maybe 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Where does it go to, though?
Onto your flash
card. Onto your flash card.
It makes it non-volatile.
Okay, good.
And, typically,
yeah.
You keep two or three versions on there,
mm-hmm.
And you can set it up so that it automatically backs up. I made the mistake of not indicating AM and PM, and it automatically backed up at 3 in the morning. It switches itself on, backs itself up, mm-hmm. Switches itself back off. Which is really nice, unless, of course, you're in a hotel room.
I can't time when I want to do it, but with the latest release, it's easier to back, you know, things up than it was before. Before, I'd have to highlight everything that I wanted to back up and then back it up. Now I don't have to do that.
How long does it take?
Oh, it's very quick.
Yep.
And with the Braille note, it's strictly a manual process.
Yep.
You initiate the backup. You determine what you want to back up.
That's how this one was until about 2
yeah.
weeks ago.
And that hasn't changed with the even with the new and
7.
Yeah, nothing of that has changed.
But how long does that process take, would you say?
2 or 3.
It's hard to say. Depends
five,
on the,
how much
yeah,
you got,
depends on what you're, how much you're
yeah.
backing up, yeah. But, right. You know, it can be a little bit, you know, it'll probably take, well, I guess it really depends.
Another difference, too, and this isn't backing up, but it's related. When you upgrade, when I upgraded my PacMate, I went to their website. I entered on a, I entered my data that identified me, my serial number and so forth, and I was able to download a file, which I unzipped, and then I was able to put it on a flash card, insert the flash card into the PacMate, and it updated itself without me having to do anything. And it gave me all these little interesting beep, 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 beep tones telling me it was doing something. When it was done, it just announced itself as having upgraded. I have not had to upgrade to an M-Power, but when I've upgraded previous Keysoft releases, they sent you a flash card.
I've done the upgrade for the M-Power,
yeah.
And it is a somewhat more complicated process in that the first thing you have to do is go to Humanware's site, find out if you're eligible
right.
to upgrade. Then you download the key, which you copy onto a flashcard. You can then download the upgrade file itself, which you also put on a flashcard. You install the key, which they tell you how to do. Then you turn on the Braille note and press a special sequence of keys, mm-hmm. which then causes it to go to the flash card, or actually to the SD card, because
mm-hmm.
with the Empower, you must use an SD card. You can't use the compact flash, and they tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've done that, it's a pretty much automated process, and they, you know, and it goes by itself. But I can see how, for somebody new, this might be a little daunting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any trouble with it, but I've got a lot of background with this kind of stuff, and I just don't worry about it too much. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I were a new user, if I'd want to do that.
Okay. What about the Braille Sense? Yeah.
The Braille Sense, for the moment, I don't have to prove who I am, and maybe it's because it's not even been out, you know, with GW Micro for a year. I can go to their site, download the upgrade, then I have to unzip it, and I usually use a thumb drive. You could put it on a card if you wanted to. And then you have to go to a utility that they've built in that says upgrade, and then it does it automatically, and it tells you you better wait, not do anything, don't shut it off while it's doing that. And I don't know with your units, but with my unit, while it's doing it, you see the full cells going back and forth, just like you would see it on the print screen. You know, it's filling in the blanks, and it's going back and forth. It's kind of interesting to feel. And when it's done, you can hear it sort of reboot.
So it has a USB port?
Yes.
Yeah, they all have USB yep. ports.
Does anybody know if GW Micro, and probably not now that they've released this new Smalltalk Ultra, has any plans to release a speech-only version of the Braille
Sense? I asked that. Is that Tim's?
Yes.
Yeah, you had asked me that when we spoke a few weeks ago, and I asked that for you. And they said not at this time, but if a lot of people requested it, they may consider it.
I suspect they will.
You think they will?
I do.
I don't see how they can
but
avoid
But they want to hear people. They want to have people say that.
Yep. I suspect they will ultimately do yep. so.
What about cost, Amy?
Yeah, I went through that before you came
oh, okay.
in, I think.
Okay. All right.
if you're writing in the Braille sense mm-hmm. or the Braille note mm-hmm. and you're writing a file, how difficult is it to back it up to the, you know, if you need to back it up onto a computer? Do you still need to do that with the flash ROM, or do you not need to do that?
No.
No.
Okay.
Back it straight
I
on
mean,
the
if
flash.
You want to be super, super cautious and have your backups in three places, you certainly could, but you don't have to.
Okay.
I can go directly from my computer to my BrailleSense, so I could back my files up there. But you don't need to.
You could also back it up to one of those thumb drives. They all support thumb mm-hmm. drives, do
yes.
they?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to yeah. be careful. They
yeah.
don't all support all thumb drives.
Oh, okay.
You can certainly own the thumb drive. These things will not
yes.
react.
Yep.
Yeah. SanDisk.
SanDisk would be an example.
It's one I trust.
Even though they don't tell you this in the manual, the Braille Note and Power will support certain external hard drives, provided that you get your power for the hard drive from somewhere other than the Braille Note, because it just doesn't have enough umgats to.
And it'll crash. And with the Braille Sense, also, it'll crash your system.
Mm-hmm. All that happens.
The only real way to do it with a Braille Sense is to have the Braille Sense plugged in mm-hmm. at the time you plug in
yep.
say, something like a Wolverine drive.
And
which
have
draws
that
its
plugged
power.
In as well.
Well, and actually, I've seen people who've burned out motors on those drives mm-hmm. by trying to use it with the Braille Note M-Power, because unless you plug it in, you've got to have everything plugged in or it's not going to work. I don't think these devices are really quite
no.
ready for that. Another thing I will say for BrailleSpeak users, one of the things that the devices are not very good at is like a global find. You know, find, if you've got a piece of data, you don't know what the name of the file is, and you can't do a global find in the unit. The other thing is, one thing I'll say, and this is the proprietary interface of Keysoft, at least in that on the Braille Note M-Power, if you're in a file and you decide you want to erase it, change it so you can erase it from within that file. You don't have to erase. You don't have to go to the file manager.
It doesn't just empty the file? Because it always used to be that if you were in the file, you could clean it out. You could delete
yeah.
everything in the file.
But the name would still be there.
But now you're saying you can actually...
I believe the file is now deleted, yeah.
Do either of the other units have database support of any kind? The Braille Note doesn't. For me, that's a big issue.
It does not, but they are considering it. It certainly will not be the next release, but it's something that everyone is screaming for.
I know of no plans to go beyond what Excel can provide.
So if you want to enter a phone number or something mm-hmm. or that kind of information in a Braille sense, how do you structure it, or is it just a free form entry?
Contacts.
When I got my unit in August, the address manager really had some issues, and one of them was, for instance, it had zip code, and you were supposed to put your city, state, and zip in that field. It just didn't have enough fields or field capability. And I want to say maybe in November, with that release, they really expanded it tremendously. So now I can put in somebody's home email, their home fax, their work fax, and it's got a bigger memo field. It's much, much better. I can use that email when I'm in my email to go and find, you know, that person's address also.
GW Micro took over the Braille Sense from HIMSS, the Korean company that made it.
They actually haven't taken it over, though.
Well, they distributed it, but they also now are involved much more in the software
releases. They have a lot of
releases. They had a lot of input in terms
of
software.
They're still doing most of the actual work on that.
They're doing the work, but I think
yep.
GW Micro is now doing the development.
Yes, yep.
They're doing the development. And so I think one of the things that happened as a result of that is that there were a lot of things that were not initially ready for prime time with the Braille Sense that have now been changed. I think there's a lot.
The original was based on a Korean experience,
right.
not a U.S. experience.
Right.
Zip code is not an issue.
In
Korea.
Yeah.
Their original unit, which was not called the Braille Sense, I forget the name, but it was originally done for schools, for school kids, and it developed from that. But it does bring up another point about the Braille Sense. The initial Braille Sense that came to GW Micro, because you're going from Korean to English, had some major problems. And we're still seeing a little bit of that, and there is two that need to be corrected. This was announced at Samsung, so I can say it. I'm on the beta list, and they are just coming out with MSN Messenger. And in one place, instead of saying instant, they're saying instance. So that will be fixed in the next, you know, upgrade. But the one that I kind of keep chuckling over is when I go into my email, it says preparing for the body. I feel like I should be a if you're in the word processor, when you hit the enter key, it says paragraph rather than line or enter or something like that. And I think they should also fix that one. But I guess compared to where it was, this has improved tremendously.
In terms of upgrading, the other thing to mention is for people who may have Braille notes, they are offering what they call their transplant program. This is what I... Yeah, I'm talking about bodies. This is what... and that's actually what I did. For $2,000, they'll take your current Braille display and they will put it into a new Empower.
Really?
And send it back to you for $2,000.
How long are they planning to keep that transplant business going?
It is not clear.
Ah.
It is not clear.
Last summer, didn't you?
Yes.
They changed the motherboards on the Empowers. They're quite a bit different.
Both, all of these, the PacMates and the Braille Notes will supply you with a QWERTY or a Braille keyboard.
Yeah, you get to choose.
But the Braille Sense is just a Braille input.
I read something on the website the other day. I've not tried it. I don't know. It's my understanding that you can hook up a USB keyboard. I don't know enough to say whether that's 100% true or whether it was too late at night. I was, you know.
Maintenance agreements and upgrade expenses.
Yeah, you know. I don't, right now for Braille Sense, they're not charging you for upgrades, are they?
No, and they're not sure where they're going with it yet. And maybe it's because it's the first year.
Eventually it'll be more expensive.
You know, they don't know where they're going with it at all. You can buy I don't know the cost. You can buy a maintenance agreement that basically says, kind of like what Freedom Scientific does, we'll send you another one overnight. But, you know, I always feel, and I did the same thing with my Millennium. I had a really good Braille display. I wanted to hang on to that, so I would have preferred to just ship it in. But I had a problem with my wireless port and sent it in, and I had it back within a week. So it was very quick, and I didn't have maintenance.
What did they charge you to repair that, Judy?
Actually, they didn't charge because it was less than a year old.
So is the warranty a year with
warranty
that?
Warranty is a year, I believe.
Okay, does anybody know what the warranty is on the Braille notes on the...
The warranty? A year.
It's a year, yeah.
A year from initial purchase.
A year from initial purchase.
So you don't have
purchase.
To decide about a maintenance contract until after the first year.
I wish the companies would be a little bit better about reminding you that mm-hmm. that time's coming up, and I don't find that to be the case with any of the companies.
No, I don't. Now, one thing you need to know, too, if you own a PacMate and you have a Braille display, the PacMate numbers go like this. It's a BX or a QX, and it's a 400 is a PacMate with no display. No Braille display. A PacMate 420 has a, you guessed it, a 20-cell Braille display. And a PacMate 440 has a 40-cell Braille display. Now, if you buy a PacMate, now this is actually what I did. I bought a PacMate from a third party, and then I bought a Braille display from another third party. So if you want to get one of these things and you want to buy, you can buy a PacMate and then add the Braille on later. Whereas if you buy one of the others, you can't do that.
Question with the PacMate, you have to be careful which initial unit you buy. There's one display, so you could put it if somebody had a 20 and somebody had a 40 here, they could use the same unit.
You could swap it. Yep, you can. The bad news about that is, though, that you have to have a separate agreement for your Braille display as you do for your PacMate, because it's a separate piece of hardware. So you have two agreements to keep track of.
Do you ever take your Braille display
off?
The unit to carry it around? So it would be a little less wear and tear on it?
I often take my Braille display off and use it on my home computer. And I sometimes, when I take the PacMate somewhere, I sometimes don't take the Braille display. It depends on what I'm doing. And it's very easy to get on and off.
If you get somebody like me whose hand dexterity is getting worse and worse, I wouldn't ever consider that as an option for me.
You'd be surprised.
It's very easy. It's so easy.
Okay.
We'll show you. It's so easy.
No problem at all. One of the reasons that I am getting a second case for mine is because I'm doing so much stuff with GPS, and I don't find that having a refreshable Braille display dangling from me while walking around with it as a GPS device.
Thank you, Brian.
Practical.
That was my next question.
Well, GPS, the Braille Note and the PacMate both have GPS systems available for them. The Braille Sense does not. To my knowledge, GW Micro does not.
It's not being discussed at this
moment. Yeah, they're not. They don't have any plans to do that. The other thing to tell you is I think the keyboards are quite different. I think the keyboard on the Braille Sense and on the Braille Note are more rugged. The Braille keyboard, Brian, which PacMate do you own? QX or BX? Okay. I don't know how it is on the QWERTY keyboard, but the Braille keyboard, it feels very cheap. To me, it just doesn't feel, the keys on the PacMate don't feel as good as the keys on a Braille Sense or a Braille Note.
Because you went through the transplant experience, Amy, let me ask you this. Were you happier with your Braille Note old keyboard or your M-Power keyboard? Which one do you think is better?
I liked the old keyboard better.
I have not talked to anybody who says otherwise.
I liked the old keyboard better. I liked them better. As a matter of fact, when I got the M-Power, I had a couple of interesting experiences with that, which I won't say in public. But I went to CTVH, which is an educational conference, and I ran right over to our friends at HumanWare, and I said, what's up with these keys? These keys have a nick in them already. What is it? And they said, oh, no, those are just the new M-Power keys.
I'd also heard that it's as much to do with the height of things as anything else, the height of the keys relative to the rest of the case, that it seems a little more embedded.
It does. It does definitely feel that way.
Raise up a little.
Yeah, they were higher. If you transplant your display, you keep your old display.
That's right.
Now, that may not seem like anything different, but they have changed the Braille Note displays now, and they are quieter than the old ones, like the one I have.
The cursor routing buttons are different, too.
And the cursor routing buttons are also different.
Oh, the one on the Braille Sense are very distinguishable.
But I know that the Braille Note version of their GPS software is about $1,500. What is the PacMate?
$500, including hardware.
The PacMate GPS, as I understand it, though, does not have pedestrian route.
No, I wouldn't say that's true.
Is that okay?
There are certainly some significant differences between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that, in fact, the Sendero product is the superior product.
It's more robust,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it has such things as saying, all right, he gave me directions from A to B. I'd like to now retrace my steps, and it will inverse them for you. The PacMate product won't do that, doesn't currently do that. So there's some negatives there. The price is a huge difference. Also, it took, and I lie not, 90 steps to install this on my PacMate.
I have to say, having owned now a Braille Note and a PacMate, it really is a difference. Start with the wireless card. You slap it into a PacMate or a Braille Sense, and it's recognized, and you're off and running.
You mean a Braille Note or a Braille Sense?
Braille Note or Braille Sense. A PacMate, you've got to install the drivers, and you can't install the drivers that come with the card. You've got to go on the PacMate Gear website, download the correct drivers, and then put them on the flash card and install them.
I mean, what happened with your flash card situation?
Right.
You accidentally dropped
wireless
card and broke it.
Well, I wrote
over
it with my chair. That's
and I built a new one.
Yeah, but you know.
And could you get just any one?
No.
No, see, that's the difference.
So you went to extra hassle.
I couldn't walk into, say, Best Buy and purchase a card for this unit. They looked at me like, we don't have anything like, because I brought
nothing
the old
that
one.
Old.
Nothing,
yep.
Which is true. So I did have to get it from the company.
The PacMate truly, because it's pocket PC and it's, you know, it truly does allow you. I use the Outlook calendar at work. It allows me to take those appointments with me. I sync it up. I just connect it via USB, and I sync it up with my computer. My calendar's there. My inbox is there. All of my contacts are there. And I don't have to, you know, it's no changing formats, none of that. One thing I think that all these companies face, and I think it's important to mention, is that there are limitations that are imposed by Windows CE and by the Pocket platform.
The vast majority of what we're talking about is not the unit. It's the platform on which it's built. Pocket. Some of the ways that you have to do things on a PacMate are so awkward you really wonder. But you remember that Pocket PC was designed to be on a touch tablet.
Yeah.
So when they say tap in here, they literally mean tap on a screen. Mm-hmm. When you see those kind of prompts from the operator.
What happens, so for example, Freedom Scientific had to develop FS Edit, which is a much more robust word processing program than Pocket Word. And it also had to develop FS Calc for a calculator. You know, I think there's still a lot of work that has to be done. I think Windows CE is much more hidden with the Braille Note. Much more hitting with the Braille Note and the Braille Sense than with the PacMate.
But the Braille Sense compared to the Braille Note is probably more like venturing through Windows CE than...
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Does GW Micro keep enough units on hand so that if you...
Yes. Concern.
You mean where they could buy one, you could buy one tomorrow?
That, and also, you know, if you needed to exchange or do something... You know, do they keep enough parts and stuff on hand?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you have to send it to Korea, I mean,
No, they are repairing in-house now.
Yeah.
Okay.
My question is for Brian and Amy, because I know, or I think Brian does, I might be lying here. What circumstances for you to determine when you use which product? In other words, if you have to go and do a show or travel or, you know, and you need to bring something with you, what are the things that most affect which product you bring?
I'm currently becoming a Braille Sense user on top of being a PacMate user. I would say I take the PacMate first. But that's because I'm taking it. I'm not taking a laptop. This is my full computing power when on the road. And for me, the Braille Sense doesn't give me that yet because of the lack of full syncing that is such an important part of how I do work. However, I've got them side by side here. One's half the size of the other. And maybe if I were thinking in terms of audio being a very important part of what I do on the device, because I just go like this, and all of the audio buttons are exposed to me. To do the audio stuff on the PacMate, I have to have access to the full keyboard to do it. To do audio stuff on the Braille Sense, I just open up this little flap, and all the audio buttons are right there along the edge.
I think it depends on what I'm doing. I'd say if I want to do any kind of syncing, I want to use it as my full computer. It's the same as what Brian said. I will say, though, the Braille Note is lighter, and frankly, when I'm doing a show, I'm in a situation where I've literally got book racks and all sorts of things on my display table, and the only place I have to put a note taker so I can take notes is underneath the rack. And when it's that kind of small space, then I'll bring a Braille Note because I need it for that. Right now, I'm also in the process of transition. I've just gotten a Braille display for the PacMate, so I really don't know how to use it yet. The other thing that, and I don't know how the Braille Sense does it, but the PacMate has what they call whiz wheels. So you navigate with the Braille display differently. You turn a wheel and that pans the display. Whereas the Braille Note has thumb keys that are on the front of the unit. And the Braille Sense...
Either side of the...
On the side.
The row of Braille.
So they're all a little different.
Okay.
Braille Note is Keynote Gold or Eloquence. They give you a choice. That's in the M-Power in version, QSoft version 7. PacMate and Braille Sense are Eloquence.
I just tried also, just to clarify, I tried to delete a file within the document. You can't. You can do it. You can go to the file list and erase the file from the list of documents in that folder, but you cannot erase the file. You can erase the contents of a file from in the file. But
the file name remains. There. Yeah.
When you insert the wireless card into the Braille Note, you don't need any kind of... configuration to do?
No, their drivers are already there.
Yeah.
You have to use certain...
a little bit of setup on the Braille Sense.
See, on the Braille Note, I didn't. You just put it right in and it went in.
And you got internet?
And yes, because, well, you do have to specify... If you've got an open network,
is it open network?
If it's an open network, it'll recognize it right away, and then you have to connect. But if it's not an open network, you've got to do a little more configuring. Why don't Judy? Why don't you? Because
I had to go through like four or five steps to get it
here. Okay, so Judy Cannon is going to demonstrate the Braille Sense.
Voice volume. File manager. List item. Flash disk. List item. Books folder 1/15. List item. Number BJJFbooks.html1/7.
So if you want to know all the books I've read this year.
Don't know much about geography dash Tennessee period. Davis-203.brf2/7.
Can you go to what the start menu would be, or go to what
back up?
People would normally hear if they turn it on?
Sure.
File manager.
File manager, and then I can go
word processor, address manager, schedule manager, e-dash mail, media player, web browser, Daisy player,
cool.
Bluetooth manager, MSN messenger, utility, option settings, help.
And I'm done. So let's go to the option settings.
List item, braille display left parenthesis, D right parenthesis, colon, off. List item, braille cursor left parenthesis, C right parenthesis, colon, all. List item, 8-dot mode left parenthesis, D right parenthesis, colon, off. List item, view grade left parenthesis, D right parenthesis, colon, grade 2. List item, message display time left parenthesis, M right parenthesis, colon, 3 seconds. List item, voice left parenthesis, D right parenthesis, colon, on. List item, punctuation level left parenthesis, D right parenthesis. List item, keyboard echo left parenthesis, K right parenthesis, colon. List item, voice volume left parenthesis, L right parenthesis. List item, voice rate left parenthesis, R right parenthesis. List item, voice tone left parenthesis, T right parenthesis, colon, 6. List item, small voice left parenthesis, S right parenthesis, colon, off. List item, LCD left parenthesis, L right parenthesis, colon, off.
And then it goes into the LCD, displays and so forth. So I'm going to go to...
Judy, if you wanted to change one of those options, what would you then do? Just press enter at the point when you've got the option?
Okay, so...
List item, small voice left parenthesis. List item, voice tone left parenthesis, T right parenthesis, colon. List item, voice tone left parenthesis, T right. List item, voice tone. List item, voice tone.
So what are you doing?
Space bar.
List item, list item.
Can you type a number? Can you type in 6?
Type in 6.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So now if...
Nope.
Now I
have
the space bar.
Judy, if you were to ask for help...
File manager.
There it goes.
Okay, but if you were to ask for help at that point,
yes,
and you've gotten that set,
it should tell me what to do.
Would it have told you?
Yep. The help menu
is... What did you do? Hit enter at that point?
I did. Yeah. And one of the things with the help is the help menu. It's basically the manual. It drops you into... It does. But also, say you wanted to find something in particular and you go to the top, you get all of the things that are at the beginning of the general manual, which are like links, but it doesn't... When you hit on it, it doesn't bring you anywhere. And they're working on correcting that.
So it's kind of like the old Braille and Speak.
Exactly. You've got to find what you're looking for in order to do it. You've got to know, like this morning I wanted to know how to do voice rate. And so I would go to help.
Move the next menu colon. Space dash dot four left scroll button.
So,
Help closed. File manager. Overview of help for the Braille sense. Help for the option menu. Help for the file manager.
So help for the file manager. If I hit enter,
filemanager.txt open grade 2.
It's going to bring me up a table of contents of...
3 period. File manager. 3.1.1 navigating the file list.
Okay, so say I want to do navigating the file list, and you might think, oh, I could hit enter here. It doesn't do it. You've got to know what you're looking for. And if I even hit the scroll key on the right-hand side, it's just going to bring me to the next, to the next item. It's just the table of contents. So I'm going to do...
Edit box. Voice.
Voice rate.
Oh, so you have to do a search.
Yes.
No more searching data.
And it's not finding it.
Sounds like the help really needs work.
Yeah. It does.
No more searching data.
And they know that, and we've actually worked a lot on this on the list lately to make suggestions of how to make it work a lot better. It is very much like the old Braille, where you've really got to know the couple words that you're searching for, and sometimes, you find it, but it's not the right one, so you've got to... I actually put the manual... a text file of the manual on my thumb drive, which for the moment sometimes is easier to use.
Do you want to do a, just so we could do some kind of comparison, do you know how to add something to your calendar? An appointment to your calendar?
Sure.
Okay, why don't you show how to do that?
Option settings. Edit combo box. Find date question. Sunday comma. Check. List item. No schedule registered. Menu item. Add schedule left parenthesis. Edit combo box. Appointment starting date question. Sunday comma. January 1st comma. 2006.
So we're going to do, and we're going to do it in lowercase.
Menu light. Edit combo box. 4. April. 14th. 6. Edit combo box. Appointment starting time question. 0. 12 hour. 0 minute. Edit combo box. Appointment ending date question.
Which I'm going to skip.
April 14th, 2006.
But you could put it in ending date.
Edit combo box. Appointment ending time question. 12:00. Edit box. Subject question. D. Multi-edit box. Memo question.
I could put in a memo if I wanted to.
Edit combo box. Alarm time question. Fixed time.
Now, right now it's fixed time, and we've asked them to change that because, I'm sorry, but I don't want an alarm going off every single time I have an appointment. So I'm going to space 1.
Edit combo box. Alarm off.
I'm going to shut it off.
Checkbox unchecked. Set recurrence schedule.
I could set it to say this happens weekly at this time, this happens monthly, this happens yearly at this time.
Button. Confirm. Completed adding schedule period.
And I've added a...
Edit combo box. Appointment starting date question.
And I've added...
Sunday combo. January 1st combo. 2006.
And it goes back to... Obviously, I'm a day off here. It works pretty well, except for that alarm. And I'm curious with the other ones. Do you have an ending time?
Yes.
Because, okay.
Yes.
And that has... And I guess what they're telling me is that has to do with being able to sync to your Outlook.
Right.
It works pretty well.
Can you do a phone number or looking up somebody that's already in your phone book or something like that?
Prompt button. Backup check. Cancel. Edit combo box. Appointment starting date question. Prompt button. Backup check.
Knowing backup data. Changes.
Backup complete. Schedule manager.
And by the way, when it backs up, it does two files. It does the DAT and a BAK, I think. And one of them is your current backup, and the other one is the one before that. So if you backed it up and you went, oh, boy, I really messed that up, you could always go back to the original one, which is kind of interesting. Address?
Search address. Edit box. Last name question. One search records. List item. Last name question. Charleston.
Now... The interesting thing is, and I don't know if your other units do this, the cursor rounding buttons, I'm going to hit the 6 button, and I know that because every 5 cursor buttons, there's a point above them, just like they would be on a slate, and I'm going to hit that one.
List item, home telephone question, 617-926-4527.
And I can go, by hitting that cursor rounding button, I can go to the different fields. I don't know if yours do that, but I love that. It makes it really easy. Of course, I had them all memorized, and then they came out with the one with a lot more fields, and I don't have them all memorized anymore. And I can add, delete, change.
We're not connected to the internet here, but do you use it for email at all?
Yes, I'm starting to.
How is the email set up? Is it more like Outlook, or is it...
I'm not sure how to answer that.
Well, for example, the Braille note, it'll say, write an email, and you have to enter on that, and it'll say, it just prompts you through a million, it just prompts you every other second.
No, there's a little bit of prompting, but not overly. Again, you can go to the, and I a lot of times use the menus, and it'll say, when you first go into your email, it kind of says loading and preparing your inbox, mm-hmm. And then from there, you can use the menus or the hotkeys to do whatever you want, send, receive, forward, whatever.
Do you find it as convenient or as easy to use this for looking up just odds and ends as, say, a Braille and Speak?
You can't compare.
Meaning this is that much better?
This is much better. This is much better. Here I have wireless with the Braille and Speak or my Millennium. I didn't. And I would have never done anything on the web or anything with my... Because it was too much of a bother.
What was a Millennium?
Like a Braille and Speak with a Braille display.
It was an interim unit between the... Sort of when Blazy got bought out and when they came out with the PacMates.
It's like a fancy Braille light.
It took a flash card, too. You mm-hmm. could.
It had a flash card, which was great. It also had the scroll wheels on the side. I actually like this one better because it's easier on my fingers. So, and I wouldn't necessarily, even though this has a few thumb buttons on the front for the media player, I like the arrows that I just push down rather than something I've got to flip with my thumb. This works good for me.
How is the browser in the BrailleSense?
It's very good.
Is it easy to use?
I have actually, you'll kind of chuckle, but maybe because it's Braille under my fingers, I am actually using this better than my actual computer for finding things. And
it's getting
better and better all of the time. I'm very pleased with it.
Have you put a book on it at RJDL?
Oh, this is awesome. I can do, well, you can do Bookshare. I can download WebBrail. Can you guys do WebBrail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're working on, and we're hoping in the next release, is one of the things that annoys me the most when I'm reading a book is you've got all 32 cells, and then you have 8. 32 cells, and then
oh,
8.
Yeah.
They're going to fix that, so everything's 32 cells.
Oh, then it'll reformat the book?
Yes, it'll be wonderful.
All of the note takers allow you to do web braille and Bookshare. In addition, if you do audio, there is a Daisy player available for the PacMate. There is a Daisy player built into the Braille Sense and the Braille Mode. And the Empower there
is. And in that Daisy player, that you have to send it away to get the RFB key?
Oh, for RFB and D, for all of them, you have to put a key in.
Right.
For,
yeah. To give you permission to use it.
To give you permission. But that's an RFB and D problem, that issue. That's not, because all the companies are wanting to make that a much simpler process.
Yeah.
But you can, for all of them. And in addition, the PacMate, you can also go to audible.com and purchase their books and put those on. Brian, do you want to do PacMate?
What I've got in front of me is the PacMate QX440. First thing I'm going to do...
We also have a BX here, which you'll be able to see.
I'm going to turn up the volume here, I hope.
Reminder dialogue. Red Sox.
Pardon me, I've got a reminder here about the Red Sox game coming up. See, this is a QX. I prefer a QX over a BX because the command structure that I have to learn, I already know. If I'm already a JAWS user and I want to read the title of the current window, I still do insert T. I don't have to learn another key combination to pull that off.
Today, Saturday, April 8th, 2006.
Okay, now let's see if I can get that volume up.
F6, up-down slider, 100%.
Okay, so I've got it at full
today,
volume.
Today, Saturday, April 08, 2006. Owner, colon, Brian Johnson.
I am at what they call the today screen, which is the equivalent of the desktop. And I'm simply down arrowing, and it has set aside on the QWERTY keyboard arrow keys.
Limit meeting. 1 p.m. – 4 p.m. left there and that BP right there.
It automatically shows on this today screen the two next appointments you might have in your calendar.
Red Sox and Orioles.
So that's what you're hearing there.
Active sync colon, 5 unread messages.
It tells me that I've got 5 unread messages in my inbox from my last active sync.
9 active tasks.
It has a task manager that is, again, part of the Outlook suite. Remember that Outlook is not just email. It is a personal information manager. And so it carries, when you do the syncing, all of those functions of Outlook.
Battery 70%.
And it gives me a
battery
reading 70%. On that front page.
This is all just from doing a down arrow?
All I did was turn it on and down arrowed. So, and this is configurable. You can cause it to have certain things on that screen automatically or not, because, again, keeping in mind it's really a visual device gone speech, that screen real estate on a little palm device is important. So they give you the chance to tell what it is you want to be on that desktop. So we had as a demo over there a moment ago adding something to the calendar, correct? So I'm going to hit the control key.
Start menu today.
I'm hitting C as in calendar.
Calendar.
I'm pressing enter.
Leaving menus. Calendar, Saturday,
I'm
April
now
8th,
in the calendar.
2006. Two appointments. Appointments list view. Living meeting 1 o'clock B, 4 o'clock B, left
now
there.
Now I'm
going to right
put in an appointment for dinner for tonight. What would you do if you were in Outlook and you wanted to add a new item within the calendar? Control N.
Subject colon, edit combo.
Puts me in the subject in an edit mode. So I'm going to say,
dinner
at the...
Space.
When I wish.
O-U-T-B-A-K-A.
Good idea.
Except I did a typo.
C.
I'm hitting backspace.
C-K. Calendar dialogue. Appointment page. List view subject colon. Dinner at the Outback 1. Location colon.
Ask for the location. I can put in any of these fields or leave them blank if I like.
Starts colon. 4/8/06/12 p.m.
It assumes noon. Press enter.
Starts
remembering
colon,
that
combo,
it is...
12 p.m. 25
the original pocket PCs don't have keyboards on them, so you have to tap them with the stylus. So here it's easier for me to arrow to the time I want than to type it in. So I start at noon, and it's in 30-minute increments, so I'm going to hit up arrow 12 or down arrow 12 times to move to 6 p.m. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
3 p.m.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6 p.m.
And I'm at 6 p.m. I'm done with my appointment, keeping in mind that it automatically assumes a close time of an hour later unless I tell it otherwise.
Could you switch it easily to a.m.?
I'd have to arrow to get there. I'd either have to arrow or type it in. I could type it in here if I chose not to arrow it to get to the same place.
It was a 24-hour
So it is a 24-hour clock, correct. I'm going to now enter that as the time.
Ends, colon, 4/8.
Ends.
All day, colon, no.
I can choose to make it an all-day event or not. Depends on who's buying the drinks, whether that's an all-day event or not. Here's the occurs, and it occurs, as Judy mentioned, in her device. This means first Monday of every month, every Monday, this day every year, like birthdays. I've got my family's birthdays in here. It's the only year I've ever got birthday cards out on time was as a result of that. But it also allows me to get really different about how to put in reoccurring things. I can say the first and second Thursday and things along those lines. So it's not a real hard, fast, weekly, monthly, etc. You can get more creative than that. That's the calendar. I'm going to get out of the calendar.
Appointments list new meeting 1 o'clock.
Back to the home page. Again, hit the Control C. This time I'm going to hit contacts.
Calendar. Contacts.
See until I get to contacts. Press enter.
Contacts. Contacts. List new not selected. Brunson. Mail.
So here's my contacts. I can arrow up and down through them. They're in alphabetical order, just like you would see in Outlook contacts. But I'm going to hit tab once.
Contacts. Filter. Colon. Edit.
And in the filter, I'm going to type D-I-X as in Dixon. Hit tab.
Contacts list new not selected. Dixon. Judith left there
and
there found right there at 707.
Put me in the alphabetical list for that point within it. So finding an address is pretty quick. I'm going to press enter just to go into this so that you can see what kind of fields are in there.
Left there at 702. Right there at 707-07. Contacts list new Dixon. Judith left there at 702.
Press enter on that again.
Contacts dialog details page list new name colon Judith M. Dixon,
so there's name
job title department colon
department
company colon
company
work tell colon left there
down arrow
right work tell colon left there
work tell
right there work fax colon
work
address colon
address
email colon
email
mobile tell colon
mobile
tell left page colon
web page
office lock colon
office location
home tell colon left there 703 right there 776.
So you cannot imagine. I don't have a single record that has all this information in it. And in fact, I'm going to get ridiculous. I'm going to down arrow quite a few times.
E-mail 3 colon, assistant colon.
Email 3.
E-mail 3 colon.
And below that.
Assistant colon.
Assistant. If you have an assistant and you'd rather me call your... I'll have my assistant call your assistant and we'll do lunch. The data can be placed
assistant,
in there.
Assistant, tell colon. Assistant, E-mail, radio, tell colon.
Radio telephone?
Home 2 telephone.
Home 2 telephone? I mean, it's got all those kind of things in there.
Now, Brian, when you enter all that stuff, mm-hmm. do you have to go through each field by field, or can you skip the ones you don't want? I mean, is it?
I have not found a quick way to skip fields.
Yeah, that's the thing that I found with the Braille note that I didn't like. There were just too many fields.
I'm just canceling out. Go ahead.
The one good thing,
Saturday, April 8th, 2006.
The other good thing, though, about the Braille note is that if you don't enter those, and you're reading the contact, it will skip the fields you didn't enter, so
that's right.
You don't even see them. They do show up in the entry list, but they don't show up when you actually read the record, unless you've filled them in which case then they're there. And sometimes I think that's good, and sometimes I think it's bad. When I think it's bad is when I've been...
Is there a new piece of information you want to add in?
Yeah, or if I'm looking for a particular field, and I'm not sure whether I put it in there, and I don't hear it, if I'm in a hurry, it may not dawn on me that the reason I didn't hear it was because I actually didn't put it there. You know, so I don't know. That's one of those things you can debate all day.
Let's see. So we did both tasks in PacMate.
Right.
Steve, do you want to do Braille note?
Sure, I can do that. First thing I will do, obviously, is to turn on the Braille note. In this case, one of the things I like about this unit is that right now I know Marcia's got it set up because this is her Empower, but she has it set up just for Braille only because she really doesn't generally like to use the speech. I'm a speech and Braille man, so I'm going to turn this on so that both Braille and speech will come up, and I do that by pressing Braille dots 2 and 3 while turning on the power.
Document to open. Press enter for notes 3-24-06.
Okay. Is that different?
That
is one of the voices. All right, I want to get the volume up.
Volume 26. 29, 32.
Let's go to the voices here, and we'll go to the options menu.
Options menu.
And since I don't remember where it is, I'm going to just look down through here.
Date, time, grade of Braille for keyboard entry, Braille display options, keyboard settings, reveal voice.
Okay, and this is the one we want, so we'll hit enter.
Speech, currently on.
And that's on, we want it on.
Speech volume level, currently 5. Punctuation level, currently 2. Number format, currently words. Speech synthesizer, currently eloquence. Speech voice, currently adult female.
Therapy, currently right. Eloquence, what else is there?
There is Keysoft. I could go back and switch to...
Why don't you switch it to Keynote because
speech
no
synthesizer,
other,
currently eloquence.
No other synthesizer okay. one has this.
Now, because I don't remember how to do this, I'm going to go to the help menu here. I'm going to just press chord H.
For Keynote Gold speech, press K. For Eloquence speech, press E. To leave this option unchanged, just press Enter. To move forward or back through the list without changing values, press Space or press Backspace. To exit the list, press Space with E. Speech synthesizer, currently Eloquence.
Okay, so I'm going to type a K.
Keynote Gold.
Okay, now it doesn't change, and I don't think it, I'm not sure when it's going to change. I may have to exit out of this.
Yeah, when you hit enter, it will, or when you exit out, it will. Change. There it is.
Correctly
okay.
Error correctly me. Progress correctly me.
Okay, so now we're using the Keynote voice, and I'll get out of this and.
Main menu.
Okay, now I'm going to go to the address list here.
If you were to open the Braille note and you weren't in the middle of a task,
yep.
where you would go is the main menu. Unlike the
PacMate
that has the Today screen and the screen that Judy showed us with the main menu. And if you arrow through the options here or you look at them, you notice the difference. And this is the difference between having a proprietary system like Keysoft and more of a Windows feel. Where you heard on the PacMate, for example, you know, you heard, calendar, contacts, and so forth. You're going to hear different things here. It's
yeah,
planner.
For instance,
it's
yeah, for instance, if I go through the menu, I'll start here. I'll just press the equivalent of the down arrow, and we'll go through the list.
Word processor, planner, address list, email, internet, media center.
That's the spacebar, right?
Yeah. You can do it with the spacebar. You can do it with one of the thumb keys.
Scientific calculator. Database manager. Games. File manager.
Now, the Empower has games, which I guess some people wanted, or at least that's
games.
Okay. Which, you know, wouldn't have bothered me at all if they'd left it off, but they put it on, so that's okay. Now, if I wanted to get to the equivalent of the Today screen, or as close as we can get with the Braille note, because you really don't have anything quite like it here, I can go to the Options menu.
Options menu.
Cordo for options. And then if I do an N.
You have no appointments today. Your next appointment is recycling on Tuesday, April 18th, 2006 at 7:05 p.m. No alarm is set.
Now, we set that up because we could never remember when we had to take our recycling stuff out. And it's every 2 weeks, and we'd always forget which 2 weeks. So I actually set that up in the planner so that, you know, every Tuesday.
Yeah, every other Tuesday.
I can do that. Yeah. I guess we could go to the planner and add a task. So we'll go to the planner, which is a P.
Plan menu.
And the first thing in the menu is
open planner,
which we want to do.
Plan calendar. Date, press enter for Saturday, April 8th, 2006, today.
Okay, so now we can stay at this date, or we can use different keys, and it'll actually tell us if we go to help, because I can never remember which ones, but if we use the help.
To select a date, either move around the calendar until the date you want is displayed and then press enter, or type the date as number sign, month, number sign, date, number sign, year, then press enter. To move forward or back a day at a time, press space with dot 6 or 3. To move a week at a time, press space with dot 5 or 2. To move a month at a time, press space with dot 4 or 1. To move a year at a time, press space with dot 5, 6 or 2, 3. Date, press enter for Saturday, April 8th, 2006, today.
Okay, well, I'm not feeling terribly adventurous, so I'm just going to press enter because I can.
Saturday, April 8th, 2006, today.
One of the few things I know how to do. Okay, so now I'm in the actual calendar. And if I were to just start writing here, it's kind of like being in a... It's like being in a page of something that you could just, you know, write as big a memo as you want. But if I want to actually schedule an appointment, let's do that. Yeah, let's put the Red Sox game in. Not that it's going to make any difference, but... I will now, again, go to help because I don't remember.
Keep left help menu.
Okay, and now I'm going to go down through the list of things I can do.
Edit commands. Review commands. Scheduling commands.
And I want scheduling commands because I just don't remember what I'm doing here.
Scheduling command list.
And now we have that.
Schedule a new appointment. Press space with dots 3-4, S or press space with dots 2-6.
Now that's what I want to do. So I'm going to get out of this with an E chord, which will exit me from the help.
Exit Saturday, April 8th, 2006.
Okay, now space with dot 2-6 will get me to the schedule.
Appointment time.
Okay, and I will press, I will do 4:35, right?
Yep.
4:35.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just write them all together?
You write number sign. You write in grade 2 Braille because that's the preferred method for this thing right now.
Okay.
And you'd write number sign 4.25, which is colon 35 space P. Or if you do like I do on my Braille note and have the clock in 24-hour time because I hate 12-hour time, I would write 16 colon 35. You know, that's that again is an option you can set. So
you
we've
know,
got...
the Braille sense, he would do 16 space...
35?
And then 35.
Okay.
So why is 2-3 a colon?
It isn't, 2-5.
Oh, 2-5, okay. I thought you said 2-3.
No, sorry. That would be a semicolon. That's if you're only half interested. Okay, so now it's asking me for an end time, and it gives me a default of 30 minutes. Now, they're quite flexible about how you can enter end time. I can enter a number of minutes, I can enter a number of hours in minutes, or I can enter a time. I'm going to enter a time, so let's say, 8 o'clock. So, number 8, colon 00, space P.
Yeah. Appointment title.
Red Sox game.
Location.
Location, well, wherever. We don't have anything for location here, but if this was something like a doctor's appointment, I could put an address. Oh, right. I could put in Camden Yards. So let's put in...
Or you could put your favorite sports bar.
That too.
Yeah, see?
All right, Camden Yard. We put in Camden Yard. Because this is not going to be at the same time every day, this is just going to be a one-shot deal, and they've defaulted it to once. And you've got a lot of flexibility as to what you can put in for occurrence. You can put in a number of days. Now, for instance, when I did the recycling thing, I put in 14 days because... that's what it was. I didn't want to put 2 weeks because I wasn't sure it would buy that, and I decided I trusted doing 14 days better. And there may have actually been a reason why I had to do it that way, but I don't remember what it was. So this is a one-shot deal.
Set an alarm on this appointment. Press enter for no.
And we will press no because if we set an alarm, it's going to go off in the middle of something, and I don't want that to happen.
Showtime as press enter for busy.
I don't know what this field means. I think it has something to do with Outlook.
Outlook calendar. Yeah.
Okay.
In that, you can say what the different things are.
Okay.
The other people have to know that you're going to get your colonoscopy this afternoon.
Ah, right.
And you're going to be busy.
Company schedule.
Okay. So this would really have much...
really busy.
So this would have much more meaning if you were doing this at work. In other words, this is code for MYOB, which is code for Mind Your Own Business. Okay, mark as private, which I guess is a different thing from busy. And again, yes. I think this has to do with Outlook, and I don't know what.
It's how other people are going to see it if they see your calendar.
Okay, so we'll mark it as, we will not mark it as private because that's the default and we don't really care. Okay, now I exit, I do an e-cord to get out of this list.
Exit, schedule this appointment.
And we say schedule this appointment just in case you've made a mistake and you just don't care anymore, but we do care, so we'll say yes.
Appointment scheduled.
Okay.
Red Sox game, Camden Yard.
Let's say that you had written it in.
You decided you did it wrong?
Well, yeah. Say you realized, oh, my God, it isn't today, and I don't really remember when it is, so I just want out of here. I don't want this showing up. You know, it gives you a chance to back out. So now I'm going to go to...
main menu.
I'm going to go back to the main menu, and I'm going to go to options and next appointment again to see what it tells me.
Options menu. You have one appointment today. Your next appointment is Red Sox game today at 4:35 to 8 o'clock p.m. No alarm is set.
And that's what it would tell me. So that's the planner.
Do you want to briefly show the contact?
Yep.
Just real briefly so we can let people know
who's there. Sure. Do you want me to add a contact or you want me to look up a contact?
Look up one.
Okay, I'll look up one.
Selection list for Brent. Last name.
Now, the nice thing about this is I can search for these contacts by any field that happens to be in this database. So I could search for the last name, the first name. For instance, let's search for a first name just for fun.
First name.
And I will say T-E-D.
Ted Filter.
And look who came up. When you're looking for it in the list, you do it without the contractions. Why, I don't know. This is one of those little quirks that they have because when you're entering it in the actual address list, when you're adding the record, you can use contractions. But when you look for it, you have to use and
it displays it in grade 2 when you see it.
Yes, it does. That's correct.
Yes.
It does describe. Now, let's see if I have any other Teds here because I might.
Ted
Nigro, which is Marcia's brother. So I have two people in this contact list with the first name of Ted, and I can go to either one of them. Now, I could have looked for his telephone number, and, of course, at that point, I would have only gotten one. Or I could have looked by last name. I could have looked, say, by just the first letter of the last name. I could say F, and it would give me all the people with the last name that started with F. Or F-I, and it would give me all the ones that started with FI.
Can you search for, say, like I can search for Watertown and have, you know, something that has Watertown in the middle of the title come up too?
You can, but you have to search by a field. In other words, you have to...
Yes, but say I do first name and it comes up with Watertown City Hall and you know, something of Watertown. Mine will do that.
I think you'd have to put in some what they call wildcard expressions to get that to work.
Yeah.
But if you put Watertown, it's going to look at the first part of the field and get Watertown. And if it isn't in the first part of the field, it probably won't find it. What I usually do when I'm searching for something and I don't know what I'm searching for, I'll just enter the field as blank, and then it'll come up with every single record in the database.
Yeah, but that could take a long time.
Yeah, it could. And so it's not my favorite way of doing things, but I haven't got a good handle on the wildcard stuff to make it behave the way I want it to behave. They say you can do it, and I believe that you can, but I honestly don't know how to do it well. So rather than fumble around, I'm not going to try and show you that. That's it for looking up contacts, I guess. And adding, again, is the same kind of thing, except that in there you just go through the list of fields and you add the ones you want. The ones you don't want, you press Enter.
One more quick comment that I've noticed as a former, well, actually not former, but still, Braille Speak user with the Empower, is that sometimes if you start an operation in the Empower, you cannot stop it. You cannot abort it like with a
yes.
Braille Speak. You used to use the Z chord and you'd end it.
Oh, I can do Z chord.
I made the mistake because I forgot about the word limitation in Braille Note Empower, and I tried to load a Word XP file, and I could not do anything except a hard reset to get it to work.